All right, well, so let's begin. So we're continuing tonight in Kuf Mem, section Kuf Mem 140, which is, I know some of us using different editions here. So section 140 in chapter, actually, I don't know.
New one, right?
Yeah, they don't have numbers.
Yira.
Fear, reverence. Oh, I don't know how it's titled in English, but 140 is the section. So fine. So remember, again, we started speaking about last week about the interesting idea that one has to possess yiras ha'onesh, this idea that one has to possess a fear of punishment. And the truth is, you know, it's interesting that we're broaching this topic. I realized it afterwards that, you know, we're broaching it this time of year, which is very, is it 140? Kuf Mem, 140. So, section Kuf Mem, not page Kuf Mem. It's page, if you have like the multi-volume edition,
it's a while, Kuf page.
I was here at this one time. You know, one time. We were starting a whole new thing.
I thought you just said it was the 9 days. Didn't you just say that two minutes ago?
You have another story. What is it? The scorpion and the toad?
That's right. So we began discussing last week this idea of Yiras HaOnesh, and the truth is we acknowledge the fact that it's an inherently uncomfortable conversation for the simple reason that, especially, I think in our day and age, we choose much more to focus on the positive aspects of Yiddishkeit and not really to focus on the punishment or the negatives. But yet the Mechaber said last week that it's clear that we have to focus on the negatives. We have to focus on the negatives. Why? Because positives are good, you know, when you're inspired and you're motivated and you're into it. But in those times when you're just not feeling it, what is it that keeps you doing the things you need to do? And the truth is, the answer to that is Yiras HaOnesh, is a fear of punishment. So there has to be, you pointed out last week, like this synergistic partnership between, on one hand, positive Judaism and fear of punishment. And we'll say the beautiful part we're going to see is that at the end of the day, Yiras HaOnesh, fear of punishment, need not be something negative. We're going to see how to transform this into something exceptionally positive as well. So, Kuf Mem. Reishis naschil levayir es hanakuda hapanimish shel yiras ha'onesh. So let's begin first by really explaining and thinking about the innermost point of yiras ha'onesh, a fear of punishment. Klal mutzaku, kafi shekvar kasabnu la'el mispar pa'amim, shebechol inyan ve'inyan ala adem liros bo'as ha'kodesh baruch. So remember, we've spoken about many times that a person is supposed to see God in everything. I'm supposed to say, this was our whole section last time. I'm supposed to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything. Remember again, everything from my flat tire to finding my basheret to deciding which package of noodles I take off the supermarket shelf. Right? The Ribono Shel Olam is intimately involved in each of those things. So he goes on, he says, Shebechol inyan ve'inyan, on every single thing, it's important for a person to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a person is supposed to try to figure out, how can I come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Meaning, the goal of recognizing God is coming closer to God. The truth is, the same is true with Yiras HaOnesh. How so? Reishis, Yesh Limso Es HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Yiras HaOnesh. Shabbos is a very profound statement. The first thing is, we have to find God in fear of punishment. So what does that mean? I have to find the Ribono Shel Olam in the midst of the fear of punishment. Ula'achar mikan, lahaskil ula'havin, keitzad nitan liskarei ve'lov yisparach shemo, ayidei yiras ha'onesh. So this is the two-step process. Part number one is, I have to find God in yiras ha'onesh. Okay, we'll explain what that means in just a moment. And part number two is, I have to find a way to use Yiras HaOnesh to bring me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So A, I have to identify God in Yiras HaOnesh. B, I have to use it as a catalyst to bring me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reishis, Yesh Lehisponim, well, this is a very profound yisod. Mi bara es ha-Gehenim. Who created Gehenna? And the answer, of course, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You understand, you'll say to yourself, right, for this I'm coming out at night. If you heard that God created Gehenna, I knew that already. But so you have to understand something. Almost every other religion, by definition, creates or ascribes power to a secondary Godhead. So for example, in Christianity you have God and you have Satan. Right? So Satan is not God. God is still God. But Satan has a lot of power. It's not like a comparative religion thing. I'm just telling you. I'm still playing for the right team. I want to assure you. Right? But Satan has an incredible amount of power. So what's the pshat? I mean, so obviously somebody came up with this idea. Why did somebody come up with this idea? Why? It's very convenient. Why? Because the most this is very inyana diomer for us. The most difficult part for us is to reconcile the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me, yet does all these things to me. When I say me, I don't just mean me, I mean our people. Hey, listen, it comes to Tisha B'Av, we're going to mourn 2,000 years of horrific tragedies. Horrific tragedies. And yet we say, every day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us. I love you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know you're taking care. And yet, I know that He's responsible for the 6 million Kedoshim. I know that He's responsible for the tens of thousands killed during the Crusades. I know that He's people don't realize this. There are over 1 million people slaughtered in Yerushalayim when Yerushalayim fell to the Romans. You know, that's 2,000 years ago, so don't think about it anymore. Millions upon millions of Jews claimed throughout the ages. And the Ribono Shel Olam is quote-unquote responsible. Now, when I say responsible, man obviously has Bechira. Man has his free choice. But we believe that nothing happens in this world without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's very difficult. It's one of the things we grapple with in Yiddishkeit all the time. So other religions have a much simpler way of resolving it. Simply split it apart. There's God who's good, and there's Satan who's bad. And sometimes Satan gets the best of God. It could happen. It could happen. So that's the easy way out, because it avoids theological. God is all good, right? You know, it's amazing. You know, when you look, I remember, it's actually interesting, one of the only college courses I remember, I hope my parents don't listen to this particular shiur, but one of the only college courses I remember was actually a summer school course I took at Ramapo College in New York. So it was comparative literature, something literature. And actually, interestingly enough, I do remember the class, I don't remember the name. We had to study certain parts of the Old Testament, of the New Testament, sorry. So whatever, leaving aside the halachic issues that I was able to, you know. So what was amazing to me was the following. When you read these excerpts from the New Testament, everything is about love and peace, and Yashka's always turning this cheek, and he's turning that cheek, and it's always another cheek, and amazing, all love and acceptance. Yet, the one institution throughout history that has the most blood on its hands is the church. Is the church, is the most, hands down, the most violent institution throughout time. So how could it be that a religion ultimately, again, that so to speak is so based on love, comes out, because again, there's this ability to kind of create this cognitive dissonance, to create this disconnect. There's good and there's not good. And there's God and there's Satan. And there's good. And you could pull it apart. We don't believe in that. You see, we believe that the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Gan Eden is the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Gehenim. It's the same God. And the same God who rewards is the same God who punishes. And it's the same Ribono Shel Olam throughout. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything. He says, Har Gehenim Hu Pri Yitziraso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very profound statement. Gehenim is the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gehenim is no less the creation of God than Gan Eden is the creation of God. If that's the case, no safal kach, let's take it a step further. Yesh lehisbonei, mi manish begehenim. We'll say, who is the one who meets out punishment in Gehenim? Right? Rachman al-San, lo aleinu, a neshama goes down to Gehenim after 120. Who is the one who is punishing that neshama in Gehenim? V'chia Gehenim pol me'ilav. What do you think? Gehenim runs on a Shabbos clock? You know, Gehenim runs on its own. U'manhig es atzmo b'kochos atzmo. You think Gehenim could just run itself? Vaneshelo. Rak HaKadosh Baruch Hu yachid miyuchad bori u'mechadish b'choreges Gehenim. The same way God perpetually wills everything else into active creation, He perpetually wills Gehenim into creation as well. Plus, it's a very important yisod that this onesh of Gehenim is the paradigm of onesh, is directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, run by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sustained by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But who? Shemanish HaSa'adim Gehenim. And it's God Himself who meets out the punishment in Gehenim. Kuf Mem Aleph. Aton is point. So we'll say, now that we've established this, that Gehenim is not something independent of God, but Gehenim is a pre, is literally a fruit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's labor, we have to ask ourselves a fundamental question. Mipnei ma bara es Gehenim. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create Gehenim? Why did He do it? V'chi mipnei sherotza l'hara l'bnei adam. And I will say, now here again is another incredible yisod. Another thing I remember from this summer course. We read not a drasha, what do you call it? A sermon, right? A sermon from one of these, from a particular Christian theologian that was called, you could Google it, it's actually very profound. It's called Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. That's the name of the drasha. It's like a very well-known, right? So literally Kishmo Kenhu, the entire drasha, is Sarah's sermon, essentially is about you're going to die, and God's going to get you big time. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to beat you over the head, and there's not going to be anything left through. He's going to decimate you, so you might as well prepare yourself for the worst possible torture imaginable. Right, so I tried it in my first job. You understand, there is this concept, meaning there is this concept theologically. And by the way, unfortunately, some in Judaism espouse this same yisod also. This is sort of a punishing God, which is why, unfortunately, over the ages, many have left the fold specifically because of this yisod, of this idea. You could paint HaKadosh Baruch Hu in many different shades. And one of the shades you could paint, which is wrong, is that he's a punishing God. He's a God who's looking for you to step out of line. He's a God, ultimately, again, who's looking for you to go. You know, I was meeting with someone this week who was just having a series of difficulties. And this person said to me, they said, you know, why is God punishing me? Why is God punishing me? I said, what makes you think that God is punishing me? Well, I know that I did this and this and this. And I'm assuming that God has just been waiting to take that out on me. So he visited upon me this, this, and this. I said, let me ask you, do you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits in Shemayim and says, oh, I'm just waiting for Reuven to just mess up so I could just smack him on the back of the head so hard. I could just give him such... Do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu like does that? The person Mamish said to me, yes. Yeah. I think that God waits until I mess up in order to punish me. So I think it's more of an extreme. But this hashkafas hachaim by HaKadosh Baruch Hu absolutely exists. It's a flawed theology. But then we have to ask the question, so why does God punish? If God is not a punishing God, and if God is not a vindictive God, and if we're not sinners in the hands of an angry God, so the mice again, why does the Ribon Shel Olam punish? He says, Ela Baruch Hadavar, Sheritzono Yisparach Shemo Shenieh Krovim Elav. What's God's ultimate desire? What's the Ibn Shalom's ultimate divine aspiration? So God's desire for us, His children, is the same desire that every parent has for their children. And that's what? I hope to have a connection with my children. I hope that wherever my children go, whatever they do in life, I hope that wherever they live, whatever they become, I hope they're going to love me, respect me, and have a connection with me. That's, I mean, we have many parental aspirations, but that's one of them. That's one of them. I want to be... So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want more than anything from us? He wants us to be close to Him. U'kasher yesh mechitza shalavonos. Hamona'as min ha'adam lios karo v'dabok bo yisbar shemo. So as they listen to this, when a person sins, when a person commits averos, Averos create a mechitza, they create a partition, a barrier between myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll say that's what chet does. You know, when we often think about the byproducts of chet, we think about the byproduct of chet as onesh. Thank you. I sin and there's a punishment. That's true, there's onesh. But more importantly than onesh is that sin creates distance. Sin creates a mechitza. Sin creates a wall between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Azai, achas min avshara, sag mechitza. So you all say, this is a very important yisod in general, that the ikar fallout of sin is not the punishment. The ikar fallout of sin is the mechitza. Is that now there's a barrier between me and my father. There's a barrier between me and my Ribono Shel Olam. I want my whole life to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I've created an Avera. Forget about the Onesh. Who cares about the Onesh right now? Right now, there's a rupture in the relationship. And I will say, it's true. By the way, this is true in every life relationship. Right? A person does something to profoundly hurt their spouse. A person does something to hurt his wife. So what happens? So, you know, a person could apologize from here until tomorrow. Lemaisa, again, even if the apology is quote-unquote, don't say anything. Right? Even if the apology is quote-unquote accepted, but what happens? There's a distance. There's a distance. There's a mechitza that's there. So what happens with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? When I go ahead and I do something wrong, again, leaving aside the onesh, because the onesh, the truth is not really the ikar right now. The ikar is the mechitza. That mechitza is there. So what happens? He says, Azai achas, so what's my goal? So therefore, after I sin, the first order of business, Rabosai, is what? First order of business is? Remove the mechitza. Right? That's the first order of business. How do I get... Yes, I have to say, I'm sorry. Leaving aside the order of tshuva, but big gadol, my goal is I have to remove the mechitza. There's a mechitza, I got to get it down. How do I do that? Azai... Achas mina afsharios esayk mechitz zu ze ayide anshei gehenim. We'll say one of the ways in which the mechitza comes down is how? Through gehenim. Nimtza kol inyan hagehenim. We'll say now what does that mean through gehenim? What he's saying, what the mechaber saying over here, is one of the ways that the mechitza comes down is through onesh, is through punishment. Punishment is a purification process by which we are able to restore ourselves to what we were prior to the sin, or sometimes even take ourselves even a step further than what we were prior to the sin. Gehenim is not an end. Gehenim is a means to remove the mechitza, to remove the partition. Nimtza, kol inyan ha-gehenim eino ela hechitimtzi sheyuchal ha-adam lihiyos karev eila bisbar shmo. This is an amazing thing. The whole yisod of Gehenim is to enable me to once again achieve that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, you understand also, we're using Gehenim kind of in a little bit of a looser fashion, just to refer to onshin, to punishments in general. Nimtza, sha'adam shira mina Gehenim bistama. So, what's that? So now, we understand, first of all, I think this is just an incredible...
So Gehenim is a cleansing process?
Yes. But it's one step further. You see, when you say cleansing process, when people say cleansing process, often we assume, what am I getting cleansed from? Sin, which really is there to absolve me of what? Of onesh. Meaning, just generally how we think, I've committed averos A through E. I have punishments that are lingering over me. We'll call it liabilities. I go to Gehenim, Gehenim purges me of the liabilities. And the Chabra is saying, that is true, we'll discuss that, but there's one step further. When I sin, the first issue is not the onesh, it's not the punishment. The first issue at hand is the mechitza. Gehenim is there to remove the mechitza. Think about this logically, by the way. Gehenim is the opposite of what? Right? Of Gan Eden, right? Of Olam Haba, of Yushalayim Shalmala, right? It's the opposite. What is Olam Haba? What is Olam Haba? So Olam Haba is closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? It's Dveikos. Gehenim is Richuk. Right, is distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the goal of the Neshama? The goal of the Neshama is to get from Gehenim, from the Richuk, to the Dveikos of Olam Haba. That's the goal. How does that happen? How do you bridge that divide? To which the Mechaber says, that's where Onesh comes in. That's where Gehenim comes in. The cleansing process of Gehenim is not simply to absolve one of Onesh. That is true. More importantly, the cleansing process of Gehenim is here to help me bridge that divide between the Richuk, the distance, and the Dveikos that I so badly yearn for.
He uses Gehenim as not an afterlife type of a situation right now.
Sounds like Yom Kippur.
Right. See, he's using this in a little bit more of a general term to refer to Onesh. Jess, when you want to speak about the paradigmatic example of Onesh, Gehenim comes to mind. Gehenim comes to mind. Because Gehenim is we discussed this last week a little bit. I was going to say it's a reality. It's a conceptual reality. Lav dafka, that it's a reality that we grab our head around. So he goes on, he says, Nimtza, sha'adam shi'ari mitzvot. So now listen to this. Remember what we said before? That there are two parts to Gehenim. There's recognizing God, that God is in, that recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as part of Gehenim, that's part one, and then using Gehenim to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So listen to this. Sha'adam, Nimtza, sha'adam shi'ari min ha-Gehenim bistama, ve'ino zocher v'chai, mishu bara es Gehenim, umizu zehamanisham, ve'lshem mahumanish, hare nechsar mimenu kol iker tachles on she'agenim. This is a profound statement. Therefore, it turns out that someone who fears Gehenim, but doesn't understand, again, A, who created Gehenim, who administers punishment in Gehenim, why he who created Gehenim administers punishment there, then what happened? I've missed the entire boat. And it's about saying, if my concept of Gehenim is just simply that if I sin, I'm going to get punished in the afterlife. Now, again, that might have its place also because that may be a helpful deterrent against sin. But the real theological power of Gehenim is a recognition that A, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who created Gehenim. B, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who administers punishment in Gehenim, which all leads me to the question of why, which then leads me to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that because sin creates a divide and a distance, and the objective of Gehenna is to bridge the divide. And therefore, the objective of Onesh is to cleanse the neshama, take down the mechitzos, and bring me back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if I just fear Gehenna because no one wants to get patched, but I don't think about all of these related issues, then says the Mechaber, I've missed the point. I've missed the entire power of Gehenna. Well, so let's just do a few more lines. Kuf Mem Beis. Kishim Sheyesh Es Onesh HaGehenna. The same way that there's a punishment of Gehenna. Kach Yesh HaPachad Nipnei HaOnesh. So we'll say the same way that there's Onesh in Gehenna. So there's also a general of fear of punishment. Yesh Lahavin. Ma Tachlish HaPachadzeh. So we'll say, we all know we fear punishment. We all fear, but it's natural to fear punishment. In fact, people generally who don't fear punishment usually are a bit reckless. Right? It's important to fear punishment. It's important to fear repercussions. If you have no fear of anything, then you could do whatever you want. And mamish, like, there's no telling what chas v'shalom you may do. So what happens? So there's a pachad of onesh. Sheish tahavin, ma tachlis shal pachadzeh. So what is the tachlis? Like, what is the purpose, ultimately, of this fear of onesh? V'chi HaKadosh Baruch Hu rotzeh letzares adam lafchido. Does God want us to be afraid? Bara hadavar she'eino kin klal. Of course, God doesn't want us to be cowering, fearful beings. Ella, mechevan shekol tachlis chaya adam him lios kravim elav yisbarach shemo. So since the whole purpose of life is to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'kasher chas v'shalom adam over aratzon kono, when a person commits an aver, as we said before, a person erects a mechitza between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So listen to this. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create Onesh? Why did God create Gehenna? What's the answer? The answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that man fears punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want man to sin. Why? Because when man sins, the mechitza goes up. When the mechitza goes up, God is distant from us. It pains God when He is distant from us. Therefore, what did He do? He created Gehenna. He created the concept of Onesh. And therefore, what? The Onesh hopefully keeps us from sinning, which keeps us from creating the mechitzos that divide between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nimtza, shapacha min haGehenna eino tachlis li'atzmo klal. Therefore, it turns out, fear of Gehenna is not an ends. Rather, ela calling Onesh al pachadzeh, sha'al yidei ha'adam lo yisrachek mi'boro, v'yiskeh lios karevla. Well, listen to how beautiful this is. Therefore, it turns out that fear of Gehenna and fear of Onesh is not an ends, but it is a means to keep us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I fear Gehenna, I fear Onesh, therefore I don't want to sin, therefore I won't sin, therefore I won't erect the mechitza between myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I won't create the distance, rather, I'll maintain a lifestyle ultimately of dveikus and connection. Nimtza, shema adam mefachi min haGehenna greido, lelo zechira pnimis ma tachlis shel pachadzeh, Hariya Iker Chasem in HaSefer. Zo Nekuda Yisodis Ad L'mod. So therefore it turns out that if all a person does is just fear Gehenna because I don't want to get patched or I don't like the heat, you know, whatever it is, but I don't understand, like, this is going to sound like a strange statement, the neshama of Gehenna. I don't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this whole thing. The whole point, the whole mechanism of Gehenna, the whole mechanism of Onesh is there to dissuade me from sinning because God desires to keep me close. And when I sin, I create mechitzos. If I don't realize that, then I've missed the tachlis of Gehenna.
But it still accomplishes the goal.
It can still get me away from sin, correct. But I'm missing what we call Yiras HaOnesh.
Not the goal.
Right, not the goal. Not the goal, correct. It accomplishes something in that hopefully Yiras HaOnesh can keep me from sin. But I will tell you, I think at some point in time, people get tired of being afraid. At some point in time, you know what? And you see this. You see this, my Simba Chol Yom. I'm tired of always going ahead and cowering before God. I'm tired of walking around like this. Therefore, again, you see people... So it works, but there's a limited, you know, there's a limited theological shelf life. It's important to remember that Gehenna, the punishment of Gehenna, the fear of Onesh, is there to keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu connected with man. And not an ends unto itself. Therefore, if a person toils to acquire the midah of fear of punishment, reishis yesh liskor mimimis yarei. Point number one is remember who are you fearful of? Min haGehenna This is interesting. Am I afraid of Gehenna, or am I afraid of God who administers punishing Gehenna? We'll say, and that's not semantics. That nafkamina is mamish if I've internalized what Gehenna is. We'll say, I found this piece. We'll stop over here for tonight. But I have found this to be literally life-changing. Because suddenly, again, you begin to look at, and again, we're obviously going to continue, but you begin to look at Onesh ultimately, again, in a dramatically different way. And we'll discuss more about this, but the Yisod ultimately being that Onesh punishment, Gehenna, is never an ends unto itself. That Gehenna is always a means to bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gehenna is the state of Richuk that is engendered and created through negative activity. The goal is to get from the Richuk, the distance, ultimately to the Dveikus of Olam. But how do you bridge that gap? That's where Gehenna, that's where Onesh comes in. Because the problem is, the reason why I'm here and God is here is because my actions have created all of these mechitzos. I have to try to knock down the walls. And the way we knock down the walls, the Mechaber suggests, one of the ways you knock down the walls is through Onesh. Every single Onesh knocks down the wall. Every single Onesh brings me one step closer. That's the goal of Gehenna. So if I'm just afraid of Gehenna because of the patch, because of the heat, because of the Onesh, but I forget about the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it, and I forget about the tachlis of it, then I'll never be able to cultivate a healthy sense of Yiras HaOnesh. All right, so we'll stop over here. We'll see what the schedule is going forward. Next week may work, but we'll...
Okay.
Figure it out.
Got a lot of coffee in the next week.
Question.
Yeah.